Hello and welcome to yet another edition of Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime, right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My name is Alan Scott. With a reminder, if you missed the live show on the air, you can always check it out on demand at federalnewsradio.com. Contract awards come out quite regularly. They're given to large companies, small companies, typically the winning bidder. But as you're putting that bid together, there's something you want to consider. Who's going to be on my team? Who can I get with me to help put together a winning proposal? That's why today's topic is so important. Teaming, very important. In fact, it's something that a small business really can't live without in the world of government contracting. It's very, very hard to break in anywhere. I don't care what anybody says about being able to walk into an agency and say, hey, look, here are my capabilities, give me work. It just doesn't happen that way. Especially below the river, areas down there, you really can't get in as a contractor that has never done any work at that agency. Above the river, up where we are in the AFSCEA Central Maryland area, yeah, I guess it's possible. At least they say it is. But teaming is something that you really need to consider when attempting to gather work in the intelligence community, at least in and around the Washington, D.C. area. Someone who is considered, at least in my opinion, an expert at this, has also founded a website that'll allow you to do just that, find good partners. The website is called govbizconnect.com. His name is Tom Skypeck. Tom, how are you?
Doing well, Alan. Thanks for having me today.
Yeah, thanks for joining me. I truly appreciate it, and I hope I didn't blow that up too much. I mean, teaming is important, and it's really tough to get a job without it, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think sometimes teaming gets sort of the short shrift, but in reality, for government contractors, teaming is actually a critical dimension of their overall business strategy. It's critical to which markets they can pursue and how they're going to grow. And it really can be a game changer for a small business in the government contracting industry. Sure, I mean, it really can drive revenue growth, increase market share, and really help the small business differentiate their brand. There are so many small government contractors out there. It is hard to differentiate your product or your service. So teaming with, you know, an established brand can really help put you in a different category.
I'm glad you said that, because there are so many small businesses out there trying to get work in the intelligence community. Everybody, it's literally a different company. Every other company has kind of the same flavor. So how are you standing out? What are you doing to make yourself that one that when you put your hand up, a large company notices you and says, hey, look, hey, that's a good one. What are some tips that you can give to someone?
Yeah, so I mean, again, I think you nailed it spot on. A lot of companies are going to come to the table with the same capabilities, at least on paper, right?
Right.
So then it gets down to the matter of the relationship and the team that they bring to the table. What staff do they have? What's their background? But then also at sort of the program management, business-to-business level, are these executives that you want to work with? Are they going to be able to process invoices in time? And just even some of the basic mechanics of running the business. So, I mean, it goes much beyond just looking at the capabilities, right? So, and I think that's where a lot of folks go awry is they look at the paper and they say, okay, we checked these, you know, six boxes, we're good to go, let's enter into a teaming agreement, and then you win the work, and then you find out, geez, this wasn't actually the best fit. So I think the character, the culture of the organization is important, and that's why it really is important to try and build those relationships in person. And again, past performance is very critical. So if you can take a look at their CPARs and that type of thing, that would certainly be helpful, because again, you know, past performance is a good predictor of future performance.
I'm glad you said past performance, and you also mentioned something outside of what someone would typically think of with regard to teaming. You're talking about the work that they're able to do. Oh, yes, we have X number of engineers, we have software people, we have ISSOs, we have ISSEs. What about your back end people who are doing the billing? Are you going to invoice on time? That's something very important. That money's been set aside for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. And even their contract management folks, right?
Yeah.
So if
yeah.
you're thinking about entering into a teaming agreement right away, that kind of usually would start with a non-disclosure agreement. what's the process look like for negotiating that, getting that signed? Then you can have more serious conversations. And then even sort of when you're starting to talk about the work share and mechanics of an actual teaming agreement, I mean, you can get a good feeling of what is that going to look like. And that really is incredibly important because let's say you do win, you don't want to end up in what I see are a lot of arranged marriages, which really are a function of just looking at capabilities on paper and saying, yes, it checked those boxes, and then the team's partner, and then the delivery doesn't go so well, right? So that can be catastrophic, especially for a small business, because sometimes you get one crack at the apple, and if it doesn't go particularly well, you can have some significant reputational damage. Teaming with that large company again might not be an option. So that's incredibly important, the back end piece too.
So it's equally as important if you are the large company to do your homework as it is for the small company to do their homework as well. It's not just on the large company side to make that decision. This is a relationship in which you're entering. And if both parties aren't happy, somebody is going to leave with a sour taste in their mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the large businesses need to do their due diligence. But it goes both ways for the small companies because, I mean, sometimes the large companies may think that they can kind of out-muscle the smalls when it comes to work share, right, in the teaming agreement. So, again, that's one of those pieces where you really have to find out sort of that cultural fit and whether that would be a good match. Because I was in a situation where one of the large companies I worked with, we had a contract that we had been priming for several years. It was recategorized as a small business set-aside. So we found ourselves in this position of needing to find a service-disabled veteran-owned business on kind of a unique contracting vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And that led to what was actually a pretty desperate search and Googling and that kind of thing. And we ended up in a partnership that probably wasn't the best fit. And that sort of kind of left quite an impression on me, and that's why I started to think about, you know, how could we solve this problem using some technology.
You're listening to Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Alan Scott. My guest currently is the co-founder and CEO of GovBizConnect.com. His name is Tom Skypeck. Lots of experience in the world of government contracting, but specifically in business development and the topic we're talking about today, and which is also one of the prides of the website that he helped co-find. It's all about teaming. And I want to take a step back just for a minute. We'll talk about the website in a second. You mentioned one of the bad relationships that you were in. Have you ever been in a position where you selected someone who was of a socioeconomic ilk merely for that status they could bring to the contract and never offer any work share? Is that something? I'm not saying that's ethically something that you would do, but I'm sure you've heard of situations like this.
Yeah, that's certainly something that neither me nor the companies that I work for did I ever see.
Right.
But I have heard war stories in the industry about that. So, I mean, that's certainly something the small business owner and their executives need to be mindful of.
Right. Right.
Again, there's a lot of good people out there, but there are some folks that that aren't, and they will seek to take advantage. So that's where one piece of advice I would give to the small business is when you're talking and negotiating up the teaming agreement, talk specifics about work share.
Yeah.
How much are you going to get? Which specific tasks are you going to get? The more specificity, the better. So ambiguity is really not a good thing with that teaming agreement.
Yeah.
Because after you win, then it's codified essentially in the subcontract, and you can there's still wiggle room. But if you lay that good foundation with a specific teaming agreement, the small business is going to put themselves in a much better position.
A lot of people get caught up in the fine print of the, well, what happens if I don't do X, Y, or Z, rather than thinking ahead about the work that you're going to get out of this. How do I get out of the agreement versus am I ever going to get any work from this agreement?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing, too. Sometimes, you know, it ends up being a solicitation hits the street, and it's an 11th-hour mad dash to put the proposal together. Even if you've been doing all the capture work, you knew this was coming, there's still that urgency. So again, sometimes teaming sort of takes that back seat, and it's one of these check-the-box exercises, so that that thought, that forethought hasn't been put into, all right, what do we really need to get out of this? What's in the interest of our company? What's going to best position us? And again, thinking about each contract strategically, yes, each contract is cash that's flowing into your company, but it also positions you for growth and expansion. So that's why I really encourage businesses, small businesses especially, to make sure that they're thinking strategically about teaming, that when they're thinking about market penetration and market share and different federal accounts, that teaming is part of that dialogue that the senior leadership team is having, and that it's not just an 11th hour thought.
I go into the approach of, in fact, I tweeted about it not too long ago, and you can feel free to follow me at Alan L. Scott. I go to meetings all the time, and I look at it as an opportunity to get to know somebody. I'm not just out there selling my company, which in essence is what all of us are doing in the world of business development, but you're building relationships. I'm not looking to team with someone short term. I want to build a partnership. I want us to walk lockstep.
Exactly. And that's a great point. I mean, it really comes down to being a genuine networker, right? So we can all sort of sense the person that's in the room just selling their capabilities. Yeah. Not, you know, they're doing all the talking. They're not asking any questions. I mean, yeah, exactly. If you can sort of forge those genuine relationships, I mean, that's so critical, and build a powerful, you know, network where you can help other people out, and a lot of people are willing to pay it forward.
I challenge myself, and I challenge you and anybody else out there listening to, next time you head off to a business development meeting of any kind and you're meeting people and you're getting their business cards, and I know a lot of people take notes on the back of the cards, note what you think about that person in general. You know, is that the very first meeting that I ever went to, I received a business card from the very first person I ever spoke to, blurted out a word, and I flipped the card over, and sure enough, there it was. Sleazy.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know,
your first impression is typically the best.
Yeah, I mean, you can say don't judge a book by its cover, but, you know, your gut feeling, your gut instincts, meeting someone, and you can tell a lot by someone how they conduct themselves within the first 60 seconds. Are they looking you in the eye? Are they looking around the room to see if there's someone else they should be talking to? When you start to talk about your business, do they completely zone out, their nonverbal feedback? And that's so important, and to be able to sort of read those signs.
Yeah.
Because, again, this is not an exact science. There's an art here of trying to assess, geez, is this going to be a good cultural fit, a good character fit, frankly, to partner with my business?
It's a relationship, a partnership, something that you're looking to build over time. Let's go out and conquer things together.
Absolutely.
His name is Tom Skypek. He's the co-founder and CEO of GovBizConnect. It's an online network for government contracting professionals. Tell us a little bit about it, why you started this. Clearly, you're passionate about teaming because you've taken the opportunity to put something together for all of us to use.
Sure. Well, a lot of it stems back to that sort of one experience I had. It kind of left an impression of, we were looking for a specific service-disabled, veteran-owned company that could do X, Y, and Z, and I worked for one of the large firms. Quickly, my coworkers and I exhausted our personal networks, couldn't find the company. So I figured the business development shop at our company, which does about $6 billion annually in revenue, surely they must have some great master database.
Of course they do.
That
of course,
was not
right?
The case.
What?
Right? So we actually defaulted to the trusty Google, and you know, I kind of thought, wow, this was a few years ago now. I said, wow, you know, there's so much technology and capability out there and data. How is this so antiquated? So that's where I started to think about, geez, there would be great if we could apply this kind of professional social networking concept to finding teaming partners. So that's what we did with GovBizConnect. Basically, what we did was built, we talk about it as sort of a match.com for government contractors, but basically what it does is it enables small contractors, large contractors, and government contracting officers to sign up for free. It's free to use right now, build profiles, and then search for each other based off specific capabilities. Now, one of the dimensions that, Alan, we've been talking about is that in-person dimension, which is incredibly important and it will never go away. But one of the challenges here is that the sheer universe of companies that contract with the federal government is just enormous. Some of the figures we got from Library of Congress indicated that in fiscal year 2014, over 180,000 businesses received contract money from the U.S. government. And of that figure, 51,000 were considered small businesses.
Wow.
So you could be the James Bond of networkers,
wow,
the best LinkedIn professional ever, right? But
yeah,
you just, it's impossible to have visibility into that level,
right,
that number. So we really see ourselves as helping people and companies to narrow that universe of prospective partners, because there, again, the barrier for entry is relatively low. So there are a lot of great companies out there, but it's tough, again, as we said initially, to really differentiate your product or your service line. So this at least helps you get exposure, especially if you're outside of the Beltway, and build a profile that can really emphasize your value proposition and, help make that a bit more efficient than, desperately Googling or, you're finding out that, LinkedIn is not going to deliver for you.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Not that they don't, because they are also of value as well and definitely a part of my toolkit on a daily basis. But this is something, it adds another layer, an actual jump-off point to begin that search as you look for people with the same or complementary characteristics, let's say.
Absolutely. And I think what you said is spot on. It is a tool in your broader toolkit. And you do, this needs to be a multi-pronged approach. I mean, who you've met at industry luncheons, your LinkedIn network. But again, one of the things that we've done with GovBizConnect is it's really a business-to-business and business-to-government network. What I mean by that is LinkedIn, for example, is still very person-to-person. Whereas on GovBizConnect, we have companies, instead of individual pictures, it's their logos. The data fields are predominantly about the company. A company representative is identified with their contact information, but it's really meant to be a true business-to-business and business-to-government type of system.
Outstanding. You mentioned, for those of us outside the Beltway, it's funny. There are a lot of people that don't even realize that there's a lot of work out there outside the Beltway. There are agencies outside of the ones that are within the Beltway itself. And for those of you who are interested in breaking in the ones inside the Beltway, this is a great tool because a lot of people are in it.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are...
People are always talking about getting visibility inside the Beltway. And when you're living outside the Beltway, working up there, at the forts out and around the country, so to speak. But there's a ton of work in here.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. I mean, inside the Beltway, outside the Beltway. I mean, a significant amount of federal dollars spent each year, a quarter of which roughly are set aside for small business. So there is a lot of opportunity across the 50 states. And then certainly highly concentrated in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area as well. And again, it goes back, there's sort of that institutional imperative to team, which, again, is the fact that so much money is set aside for small businesses. But again, there's a lot of other reasons too, right? I mean, it can be to augment in-house capabilities, right? To become more technically competitive in a bid, right? So you could be, I've seen an instance where you have one of these large businesses and there's a specific aspect in the proposal, a specific requirement that they just don't have in-house. And there's literally, 50 experts in the U.S. that do this, right?
Right.
And they're part of a small business. So getting them on your team is going to make you a lot more competitive, and that even happens with the large companies as well.
You're listening to Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime right here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, where my guest is Tom Skypeck. He's the co-founder and CEO of GovBizConnect.com. Check it out. Free for now. Teaming is what it's all about. Finding that partner to walk lockstep with through the world of government contracting. It sounds so pretty. It flows right off the tongue, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It's one of those things. When you think about sort of business strategy for a government contractor, it's what capabilities do I offer? What markets do I want to compete in? who are my immediate competitors. But again, one of the things I do encourage to small businesses especially is to think about their teaming strategy, because teaming with the right partners, especially for the small business, can be a game changer and really grow your business at a pretty significant rate.
If you team with the right prime, and I'm fortunate enough to say that we've teamed with several very good primes, one of which has kind of taken us under their wing and is kind of walking us along through the world of government contracting. If you are not so fortunate to have a prime that can take you through the world of government contracting lockstep, so to speak, and you want to get into the world as a prime, you're a small company, one of the areas that you could research, and I don't know if you've ever taken a look at this world, the world of the JV. Have you ever? The joint ventures. Have you ever been involved in a joint venture?
I have not directly, but you're right. You're absolutely right. That is another vehicle, basically, for a small business to get experience and mentorship. And I know there's some mentor-protege relationships too. To really, like you said, some companies are great in that they really will coach and help build and mature the smaller business to help set them up to be successful when they go out to prime on their own.
There are programs out there with a lot of the, I know DIA offers a program, and I can't remember for the life of me what it's called, but I know that a company was just selected, and the name is right on the tip of my tongue. I can't remember their name now. They were just selected to be in this mentor program over at DIA. It only opens up every now and then, and when it does, people, they're flooded with applications, and to have, you know, the Defense Intelligence Agency now take them under their wing and say, welcome to our world. We want to introduce you to more contracting and other people in our world that do what you do.
Yeah, the networking dimension is just, it's so key. Especially, the world has just shrunk considerably with the rise of the internet and social networks and LinkedIn. And there are a lot of opportunities out there. But that's the other thing, too. I mean, it's sort of have visibility into some of these programs, this should be sort of an accountability for the business development professionals at the small companies, right? Not just going to the luncheons, building the relationships, but actively researching and knowing what's out there in terms of programs, because they're not always super well known or well advertised by Uncle Sam, but they are out there.
Imagine that.
Right?
Imagine that.
Yeah.
You know, you may be looking at FedBizOps, but don't forget Westfields. Don't forget the other ARCs that are out there. If you're looking at doing business, you need to get the tokens, the passwords, whatever it is you need. You're right. Research is key. Build a portfolio of forecasts so you can figure out what's coming out when.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's incredibly, incredibly important.
Yeah. Yeah. In the final minutes that we have here, Tom, and we're talking to Tom Skypeck, who is CEO and co-founder of govbizconnect.com. Take a look at it. It's a wonderful site for you to find a potential partner in the world of government contracting. In the final minutes that we have here, what parting words would you give to those out there who may be ready to take that step off the bridge and become a government contractor, saying to themselves, you know what, I can do this better on my own, leaving that large company? What words of advice would you give to them?
I would think, you know, very deliberately, I would focus on quality over quantity, right? So I wouldn't, another tendency I see is this shotgun approach to business development, where you submit, you spend a lot of cash putting proposals together for a variety of bids. Small business really needs to think what they are very good at, what differentiates themselves, and really target the contracts and the relationships to build at the agencies. Do not go with the shotgun approach. Yes, it's nice to have a diverse contract set, contract portfolio, but that's really, that takes time to build. So my emphasis would really be focusing on very diligent market research, really figuring out where you think your capabilities are going to best resonate, and starting to build those relationships with the government customers, and thinking about which large and middle-sized government contractors would be good teaming partners.
Would you suggest to start this before you take that leap, before you leave the company? Make your intentions known, so to speak, as best you can? Or is this something that once you leave and incorporate or LLC yourself, that it's time to start making those moves?
Yeah, I think there's no reason you can't get grease the skids, as they say, and make sure that a lot of these wheels can be in motion before you take the plunge yourself. I mean, you can have identified a lot of the relationships, started to nurture those relationships, so that when you do go out on your own, you have an established rapport, you have established relationships, and you're just in a position now where you're able to offer and bid on those capabilities with your own organization.
Right. Right. For those of you unfamiliar with teaming agreements, maybe this is your first foray into this world. The GSA has some wonderful information on them. You can take a look at their website. I'm sure that you'll be able to find a repository of information on GovBiz Connect as well to put that teamwork together into place, so to speak, adding it into your portfolio of things that you do on a regular basis. Put it in your bag as something else that you're gonna check into on a daily basis to make sure your business is primed and ready to grow appropriately. Not too fast. Take it slow, right, Tom?
Absolutely.
Take it slow. Don't feel as though you need to bite off too much right now. You're in it for the long haul. This isn't a sprint. This is a lifelong marathon if you're gonna do it right.
Absolutely. And you want to lay that solid foundation. So again, focus on quality over quantity. If you can get a couple real solid contracts and really establish a nice foothold in a market, you know, and you do a great job with delivery, then growth will come.
Tom, thanks a lot for being a part of the program. I truly appreciate it.
Yep, thanks so much for having us.
Fully cleared security professionals looking to make a change? Why not try CTP? Columbia Technology Partners is looking for you. For openings, take a look at ctp-web.com or contact me directly at 410-290-3280. That number would also work if you'd like to be a part of this fine program, Ready to Prime. Give me a call, 410-290-3280. Follow me on Twitter at Alan L. Scott. Until next time, this has been Columbia Technology Partners Ready to Prime, right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Thanks for listening. If you've ever worked for a large company that provides services to a customer, at some point you may have said,
I think I might be able to do this better on my own.
Well, this is the show for people who actually take the step off the ledge and fend for themselves in the cutthroat world that is government contracting. Hi, I'm Alan Scott of Columbia Technology Partners and host Ready to Prime. Part information, part inspiration, all small business. The last Tuesday of every month on Federal News Radio 1500 AM.